Right here is a list of all the drafts from the last 5 years in which the great Bill Belichick has had numerous picks. He hasn't been able to really come up with any stars. I believe that he hasn't drafted a Pro Bowler since 2013. So this is a bigger indictment on Bill Belichick, not the coach, but the general manager and his ability to just surround his team with talent. But when you have the perfect eraser, the equalizer in Tom Brady, the greatest of all time, it didn't matter who was out at receiver. He would make it work. So I think this is a bigger case for Tom Brady to say that he was the reason why that organization was successful for all those years. Because you take him away, and it's like when LeBron left the Cavaliers, it's like you won with these cats. You go from, you know, being maybe the, you know, winning the division,
don't
the
Super you do
Bowl
that,
contender,
Bart.
To not
Bart,
even being able
that.
To make the playoffs. You're going to get shut out by the Buffalo Bills. I mean, this is a big indictment on Bill Belichick, and
that's
maybe
tough.
Bill Belichick, you know, the general manager should be fired and on the hot seat.
Welcome back to Patriots Preview, Mark Bertrand alongside Chris Gasper. If you or a loved one is struggling with alcohol or drug use, AdCare can help. With locations in Massachusetts and Rhode Island, help is just around the corner. Your path to recovery begins at AdCare. Call AdCare now at 1-800-ALCOHOL. That's 1-800-ALCOHOL. Bert Breer of the MMQB is with us now. Hey, Bert.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hey, Bert. On this roster, before we get to what we were just talking about, what you said on Friday, on this roster, is this the worst Patriots roster since, we'll use that year that Bart Scott gave, 2013? Is this the worst roster in a while for the Patriots?
It is. I think back to like the teams that I covered, and that was a long time ago when I was on the beat. And like, I think back to like 06 and how kind of they got old in spots. And then, you know, like they had like circumstances where they lost Branch and Givens the same offseason. 09 was sort of a transitional year, you know, but they always had hit the nail on the head there. Like they always had Brady to sort of clean it up, and Brady could always kind of make it look less bad than it actually was. And he allowed them that kind of, like, I always made the argument, Brady doesn't create margin for error. Brady is your margin for error. Now that margin for error is gone. And so it's hard to compare these rosters against some of this roster against some of those other ones, because you don't have Brady to cover everything up.
You just, we'll just fill Tom Brady in there, and they don't have that anymore. You're absolutely right about that. How much of what the Patriots do at the trade deadline here, Bert, do you think hinges upon what happens today in Buffalo? Or do you think, judging by the comments Bill Belichick made to Charlie Weiss on NFL radio, that he already knows the direction he wants to go in and that he already has lost faith in this team in this season?
I think there's definitely a chance that, you know, there's definitely a chance they have some things mapped out already that won't change depending on the result today. Like, now that said, most teams are going to tell you that the last game before the trade deadline didn't really have an impact on what you were doing. But, you know, I can tell you, like Houston, for example, like went into last week and said, okay, like, let's see how we do against the Packers. And they got blown out by the Packers. Then all of a sudden, everyone except four players in the roster is available. And so, you know, I certainly think that, like, looking bad against Buffalo on today could make you think, okay, like, you know, now we really have to move some of these older players out of here. And the rest of the year is going to be dedicated to getting younger and developing some of the guys we've drafted over the last couple of years. And it also could, I mean, like, look, if you look bad, the other thing is maybe that, you know, kind of motivates some teams to call you too. So I think certainly there's a plan in place, but you know, I don't think there's any doubt that, you know, there could be some sort of like influence that today's game has over your approach or other teams' approach to coming to you for players.
Hey, Bert, along those lines, though, when you say they could sort of have that commitment to developing their younger players, aren't the younger players in some cases the ones that might have some trade value?
Yeah, I mean, so if you look at it, like Isaiah Wynn has trade value. I don't think you're trading a 23-year-old left tackle, right? You know, maybe like a Chase Winovich has some trade value, but are you going to trade a young pass rusher? That thing? Are you going to trade J.C. Jackson, who would have trade value? Like I look at the younger guys, it's like no, like you'd be making the problem worse if like the few young guys in the team that look like they can play, you're getting rid of them. You're sort of like, what are you doing? You know, it's kind of like when the Dolphins traded Laremy Tunsil, they got a huge return, but you're still dealing away a 24-year-old left tackle, you know? So You know, I think that if they had their druthers, the Patriots would hang on to the young guys that they do like that they've drafted the last couple of years, because those guys would be, you know, working towards the solution. And then, you know, I think the guys that would be available would be guys that maybe you look at and you say, this guy's not going to be on the team in 2 years. And so Gilmore's one of those, certainly. You know, I think, you know, Joe Tooney, because of his contractual situation, would be somebody they would listen on. And, you know, the other one that's sort of interesting to me is David Andrews, who, you know, like, I mean, he's not like, you know, he's not like, you know, Marquise Pouncey out there or anything at center, but like, there are so many teams that have offensive line issues across the league that maybe he's somebody you could field phone calls on to.
Wait, do you think they'd listen on Cam?
No, I don't think so. I mean, unless some, like, I don't know what value he has right now either. That's the other thing, Chris, is like, like a lot of these players that they have, like, you would be selling low on, you know. I still feel like Gilmore, like you might be right, like at the point where it's like you want to kind of like get out from underneath, you know, what's laying ahead with him now, because if he doesn't play well the rest of the year, you know, teams may look at him a little bit differently in February or March than they are right now, when, you know, you're forced to sort of make snap decisions on how you're going to improve your roster. So like I think part of all of this is that, you know, you want to sell high, and because they're not playing very well, there aren't a ton of guys on their roster that you'd be selling high on by getting rid of them right now.
We're talking with Bert Breer of the MMQB with us here on Patriots Preview. Did you hear the clip of Bill Belichick talking to Charlie Weiss on Sirius?
I did not. No, I didn't. Okay. I read some of it, but I did not hear.
All right. So the quotes have circulated. You've seen some of that. Do you sort of buy that this was a cap reset year from the get-go for the Patriots? I mean, it's convenient to say that at 2-4, but was this always the way they thought of the year?
I've said this since March. Like, I thought from the beginning that this was a turn the page kind of year, where the goal was to come out of the year with clean financials and with your draft picks intact. And I think, you know, since July 1st, that changed a little bit because you signed Cam. And so I think some people looked at it and like got excited and are like, well, you know, maybe they aren't just punting on this year. And I don't think Bill's ever going to truly punt on a year, but I think there was an acknowledgement from the start, from the get-go, that they had mortgaged a bunch of things, mortgaged a bunch of contracts over the last few years, to the point where it was really time to turn the page, and they needed to fix that cap situation. And look, like, that's part of why you're carrying. I mean, to me, like, the dead giveaway in all of this is they're carrying $30 million in dead cap. There's $30 million on their salary cap right now that's accounting for contracts of players that aren't on the team right now. And so I just think that that's what it was going to be all along. What I am surprised by is that he's publicly talking about it, because it got me too, like, when, you know, he said the thing about practice. Was that last week, 2 weeks ago? Whatever it was.
It was after the Denver loss.
Like, that's stuff that I know he thinks. I'm surprised he's saying. I don't know. How do you guys feel about that?
It's excuse making. It
feels like he's distancing himself from the failure of this team. Like, it's like, this isn't on me. This is sort of like by design that we're not good. Part of my grand plan.
And Bert,
don't you guys feel like that's normally, these things are normally things like you might hear about otherwise, or we might see on, like, you know, A Football Life, you know, we find out about it 2 years later.
Yeah.
But for him to be saying these things in real time, like, it just struck me, because it's just like, does that send a great message to the guys in the locker room right now?
No,
it sends a terrible message.
But it's about the message he's sending publicly about the contest he cares the most about this season, which is Tom versus Bill.
And that was like, you know what, like, it just struck me, because I've always viewed it. And Chris, you covered the team. Beetle, you've been around these guys for a long time too. Like, I've always felt like Bill doesn't talk to the media. He doesn't talk to us. He talks through us to his locker room.
Right.
And that's always been what it is.
Or through intermediaries, I would say.
Well, no. But I'm saying, like, when he speaks publicly, though, the message he's putting out publicly, when it's actually him on the record, like, that is, like, directly for his locker room.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Normally. Yeah. That's always the way I viewed it. And that's why it struck me as so weird that it's like, And I guess maybe you could construe it as like, okay, like he has the players back that they were put in a weird situation, and so he's covering for them. Maybe that's it.
That
but
like
it just it felt like it
what
felt
if
like,
he's covering? I mean, here's the thing: he's covering for himself, Bert.
We questioned after the game last week. Do the players in that locker room know it's over? Are they seeing something in practice that they don't have faith in Cam Newton, that they don't have faith in the team? And maybe it's sort of an acknowledgement of, all right, I can't fool these guys. They know what we're up against here.
That's why
they know
what
we have. So I'm going to be honest.
That's why I'm going to be so interested in to see what it looks like today. Because you guys know Bobby Carpenter. He was a former Cowboy, first round pick,
Ohio State.
And I had him on my podcast over the summer, and we were talking about like the way COVID's going to the way COVID. They looked pretty good last night.
How many franchises?
I watched
does
that
he
game.
Have.
They did look good.
It was interesting talking to him about this though, because we talked about the way that COVID was going to affect the season, and he said to me, he's like, I think players are going through so much right now. Like all the protocols, all the little annoyances at work, right? Like you're going through all these little things every single day at work just to get in the building. He's like, wait till teams are like 2-4. Wait till teams are 1-5 and then see what it's like. Because now you're going to have the carrot of winning taken away from them. Like how are those teams going to react? Mm. And so I think you have that added to the fact that this is a very difficult program to play in to begin with, right? So you already have the element of being a Patriots tough to begin with, plus the COVID stuff. Now you're not winning. Like, I think that this is, I mean, like, it's just a very difficult, add the opt-outs on top of that, right? Like, the players in that locker room watched how many teammates there's opt out?
Nine.
Like, you've got all of this different stuff. Like I think this is a huge challenge for Bill now, because those players have to be worn out six different ways right now by everything. And so, how do they react? And I just think it's going to be so interesting against a Buffalo team that I think if you're Buffalo now, even though you haven't played all that well the last 2-3 weeks, you have to smell blood in the water, right? Like this is our chance. This is our chance to finally assert ourselves as the sort of big dog in the AFC East.
I would say today probably either goes really well or really poorly.
Right.
Like I don't know that there's any in between heading into this game today.
I mean, and it's just – like I feel like this year is different for everyone in the NFL, and that everybody's probably a little bit more worn down right now than they normally would be. And I think it's going to show up in the teams that are losing. And if you are a difficult program, again, like the Patriots are, that adds to it. And so I just think it's such an interesting spot for Belichick to be in. And I would love to see like what the mood of like a Matthew Slater or a Devin McCourty or one of those guys is right now, because I think that could wind up setting the tone for everything as well.
All right, Bert, great talking to you.
Awesome. Thanks, guys. Have a good one. Enjoy the game.
Joining us from the MMQB here on Patriots.
I didn't know Bert was an armchair psychologist there. We got a lot of psychology.
He's a brilliant man. Brilliant
man. I
didn't
know that.
Beautiful man.
Did he minor in that at Ohio State?
I'm sure he dabbled in it. He dabbled in it from time to time.
That was interesting.
Let's take your calls at 617-779-0985. You want to throw a prediction out there for today, feel free. I'm not predicting anything anymore with this team. That's where I'm at. We take it as it comes, Chris. 617-779-0985. Who are the receivers for the Patriots today? Yeah, that's a list worth reviewing.
Yeah, it is.
We'll do it next on the Safety Insurance, 98.5, the Sports Hub Patriots Radio Network.